want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m. And if you miss us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 1071xray.fm.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we are definitely out here. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, yes. House Party, YouTube, Twitch, Black Planet, OnlyFans for show, MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the talk, and Google Plus.
Yes. In this episode, we'll be putting you up on Ted Cruz lacking empathy for Texans and Harvey Scott's statue at Mount Tabor Park replaced with the only Black member of the Lewis and Clark expedition.
All right. NAACP files a lawsuit against Trump over U.S. Capitol riot, and Black McDonald franchise owners sue the company.
But first, let's jump into an Arizona prosecutor attempting to charge peaceful protesters as gang members. On February 12th, an Arizona prosecutor filed a motion to dismiss charges against 18 people charged for participating in a criminal street gang, but were actually just people protesting against police violence, according to KTAR.com. Maricopa County Attorney Alistair Adele says she filed the motions in the interest of justice. This reversal comes after an investigative report by ABC 15 raised questions about the prosecutor creating a fictional gang narrative to unjustly prosecute a group of Black Lives Matter protesters at a rally in Phoenix last October. These political prosecutions should have never happened in the first place. We demand accountability for all prosecutors and police officers involved. The American Civil Liberties Union of Arizona tweeted in response to the announcement, adding its voice to a chorus of others who said it was a political prosecution. Phoenix police officers have a reputation of using excessive force. In recent years, Phoenix police have shot and killed people at a higher rate than most other American police departments, according to ABC 15. Meanwhile, the Phoenix police are accused of targeting activist and former Missouri lawmaker Bruce Franks Jr., who led a nonviolent protest on August 9, 2020, the anniversary of the death of Michael Brown. ABC 15 said a grand jury indicted him based on selective evidence and testimony from the prosecutor's office. While others have had their records cleared, the charges against Franks still stand. Celebrities and politicians jumped to Franks' defense after the story broke to national news.
Shoosh. Boy, man. I'm trying to charge him as a gang. Like, what are we...
Yeah. They're going all out.
And like, they keep doing things like this. Right in public view, like it's all being covered. I think they're just so used to, you know, dealing in the same foolish tactics as they have been for decades that it's hard to break these habits. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're charging people that didn't commit a crime just for the sake of charging them, and you want to run it up on them. When actually, because no one got hurt, all you really have to do is nothing. Like, this you doesn't know, require you to do it. There was like, what are you doing?
It reminds me of a time in my younger years being pulled over by a police officer.
Po-9.
And upon a search, they found what they thought to be some type of an unknown substance. Uh-huh. Very small amount of an unknown substance. Mm-hmm. People may refer to it as reefers now. Who knows?
the reefers.
But... the thing was, he was really pressed and like searched my car, did all the stuff, and his captain showed up. And I remember him making the comment that, or his captain making the comment to him that he can just throw that on the ground and step on it. And his response to that was, no, I got to get him for something.
Wow.
And I'm hearing that in, you know, an earshot away. And it was, this where we're gonna turn this into a gang. We got to find something to make this work. That's essentially what this type of behavior is. It's for the sole purpose of feeling accomplished.
Yeah, exactly.
And what you set out to do, which was bring someone down.
Right. And you know, they got them quotas. I remember when we first found out about the quotas.
Man,
at the end of the month, it was like, yo, just stay off the Listen, white America, listen. Understand that when we got to whatever age it was, late teens for me, when we found out about police quotas in Delaware County, where they're rushing to do their numbers by the end of the month, we stayed off the street. Like, if you had to drive somewhere, like, a lot of daytime driving, a lot of, you know, I'll catch you on the first. Like, everybody chilled because we were already getting pulled over unnecessarily. Now, at the end of each month, they're ramping it up. We don't need the harassment. Like,
Yeah, definitely double thinking store runs.
Oh, yeah.
From the, from the 23rd through the 4th.
Facts, man. All facts. Oh, goodness. Well, the NAACP files a lawsuit against Trump over the U.S. Capitol riot. The NAACP filed a suit against former President Donald Trump and his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, on Tuesday, February 16th, accusing them of breaking a 150-year-old law initially developed to target racist hate groups. The lawsuit was filed in federal court on behalf of Mississippi Democrat Benny Thompson, which accuses Trump, Giuliani, and two groups, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, alleging that by inciting the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol, they violated 1871 Ku Klux Klan Act. In a statement, the NAACP said the defendants launched a carefully orchestrated plan to employ threats, intimidation, and harassment to stop the votes of the Electoral College in the 2020 election from being certified. Crowds of violent rioters stormed into the Capitol building last month, laying siege to it, vandalizing rooms, forcing legislators to take cover for hours. Five people, including a Capitol Police officer, died due to the riots. The NAACP and Thompson cited the 19th century law mentioning Trump used the tactics outlined in it. The Ku Klux Klan Act was introduced March 28, 1871, by Ohio Rep. Samuel Shellabarger at a time during Reconstruction when hate groups, fearful of blacks competing with whites for jobs and opportunities, terrorized people who were only a few years out of enslavement and seeking ways to survive. Thompson shared in a statement which mentions January 6th is one of the most shameful days in our country's history, and it was instigated by the president himself. His gleeful support of violent white supremacists led to a breach of the Capitol that put my life and that of my colleagues in grave danger. It is by the slimmest of luck that the outcome was not deadlier. While the majority of Republicans in the Senate abdicated their responsibility to hold the president accountable, we must hold him accountable for the insurrection that he so blatantly planned. Failure to do so will only invite this type of authoritarianism for the anti-democratic forces on the right that are so intent on destroying our country. Derek Johnson, NAACP president and CEO, continues with stating, "We are now bringing this case to continue our work to protect our democracy and make sure nothing like what happened on January 6th ever happens again." Good luck with that.
The Ku Klux Klan Act.
Of 1871. I mean, what have they been doing with it all this time? I feel like there've been several opportunities to, you know, revamp the act to include, I don't know, wider displays of hate, continuous displays of hate. Yeah, I mean, you know,
that must have been explicitly when there's a burning cross and bed sheets,
right,
running down the street, because I feel that the displays in the now,
the oh so common displays,
are right on the front line. This is nuts, but hey,
more power to
them lawsuits.
Yeah, more power to y'all. I don't know what the outcome of this is. If he were to be, you know, what penalty he'd have to pay, him and Giuliani. I know they're facing a lot of lawsuits. One of the companies responsible for counting votes with their program, I think it's not, I don't know if it's Dominion or one of the other companies, like, they're suing for defamation. But it's always, you know, it's always funny how these things play out. They're a big, huge deal when you first hear about the suits, and then, you know, kind of just dwindles off, and it was like, no big deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just wanted to get something in the news, but curious to see how this pans out.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious to see how Ted Cruz about to come back from his little adventure.
Shout out to everybody in Texas going through the worst right now as we jump into this story, because Lord of mercy.
Ted Cruz definitely lacking the empathy for the Texans. A historic winter storm hit the state of Texas, leaving thousands of people without food, water, electricity, and shelter. A snowstorm and freezing temperatures in places like Houston are not common, which has made it difficult for families to prepare for. No one knew the winter storm would have gotten so bad. In the midst of Texans seeking shelter and resources, Ted Cruz is seen boarding a plane with his family to Cancun, Mexico. Then went viral. The video went viral and left many people feeling upset, hurt, and disgusted that someone in his position as a U.S. state senator could lack so much empathy for the people and the crisis happening in his home state. Cruz quickly tried to make sense of his getaway by stating, "With school canceled for the week, our girls asked to take a trip with friends. Wanted to be a good dad. I flew down with them last night and am flying back this afternoon." However, using the good dad role didn't impress anyone. Earlier in the week, Cruz told Fox News, "I had initially planned to stay through the weekend and to work remotely there. But as I was heading down there, you know, I started to have second thoughts almost immediately because of the crisis here in Texas. You need to be here on the ground." The winter storm that has occurred in Texas only further deepens the lack of trust and hope people have in local and national government, leaving many people feeling like America is only ready for war and not to provide for people during natural disasters.
So I saw the footage on social media of Ted Borden and just like people in the airport, everybody got their cameras out, their phones out, capturing them. And I'm like, how's he going to flip this? The whole, "I wanted to be a good dad," and you know, my, like, to put it on your daughters, like, first of all, no one's falling for that at all. But just, you're Ted Cruz. Why did you think you could dip out and not be noticed in the airport?
I immediately thought about the glasses with the mustache attached. Like, he didn't even go for the...
He didn't.
He didn't even put the finger up over over his lips, like, the upside down. The, right. He didn't do nothing. He ain't wear a hoodie with the dark shades. Nothing. None of the stuffs.
Nothing. He didn't invest at all. He didn't try to a private jet. Nothing. Just like,
yeah, that's what I brought Delta. This up because that was part of the conversation me and Morg were having on the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. Right. Shout out to that. And it was like, wait, so you was just on Spirit? You caught a next day flight? What? You were just coaching?
Yo, he actually requested security.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he made a scene.
He made a scene. Teddy Cruz. Boy, you dumb. Yeah. What is wrong with you?
Boy, you dumb.
Like, what is wrong with you? You are shirking your responsibility. It is funny to watch people argue on his behalf online. I've seen it on Twitter. Yeah. I've seen it on Facebook. People are like, well, what are these supposed to do? It's not like he can go around cutting electricity on. Listen, if you don't know what your senator's job is, just say that. Just say that.
And that's one of the things I said. This is why I can never be in these positions. I was like, because I'd have to make that decision of like, oh, the kids want to get up out of here? I'm going to go drop y'all off.
Right. Let me bring y'all to the airport real quick, because what I'm not going to do.
Like, but he really tried to. He tried to sum it up with the, you know, I was going to work remotely, and then said, no, I need to be here on the ground.
Like, sir, who did you think that worked on? Who did you think that worked on? I was on the way down, and I said, you know what? I need to be there. I need to be on the ground.
You know, he shook his head like that.
Yeah.
Like, on the ground.
Right there. Making it happen. Like, if you don't go somewhere, dog, like.
He did. he did.
Fair enough.
Challenge accepted.
Oh my God. Foolish, foolhardy. You're a foolhardy senator. Oh, goodness. Mm-mm. Okay. A black McDonald's franchise owner sues the company. Hello. A black owner of 14 McDonald's franchises is claiming the fast food giant shows more favorable treatment to white owners and denied him the opportunity to buy restaurants in more affluent communities. Wow. According to the Associated Press, Herbert Washington filed a civil rights lawsuit on Tuesday, February 18th, in federal court in Youngstown, Ohio. The former Michigan State University track star, who played for parts of two seasons with the Oakland Athletics during the mid-1970s, said the company's discriminatory practices have led to a $700,000 sales gap between black-owned franchises and those owned by white people. The lawsuit states that franchises in low-income neighborhoods cost more to operate, have higher employee turnover, and are not as profitable. By relegating black owners to the oldest stores in the toughest neighborhoods, McDonald's ensured that black franchises would never achieve the level of success that white franchises could expect, the lawsuit reads. Black franchises must spend more to operate their stores, while white franchises get to realize the full benefit of their labors. This is just the latest lawsuit alleging discrimination by McDonald's. In 2020, black McDonald's workers reportedly sued the fast food chain over racial discrimination. Black executives sued McDonald's in January over cruel retaliation. In July, three former workers in Florida sued the company over discrimination. And later in July, 52 black former franchisees sued McDonald's, claiming they were not given the same opportunities as white franchise owners. This is a prime example of how racial discrimination continues to occur across all platforms where the black community strives to succeed. Water is wet? I beg for your analysis on this.
Flip that patty. you know, I wonder, so this is how my mind connects this.
Okay.
And listeners understand the way that the neural pathways in my mind work sometimes come across a little off kilter. Mm-hmm. But it makes me think about in education, how the black teachers sometimes are unwillingly become counselors for kids who have different ways of expressing themselves, can be a tougher challenge to work with.
Yeah.
And how that kind of happens. It's kind of, they end up with more of those type of students. Right. Mm-hmm. Cause this is like assuming that you can relate to this better. You can deal with this.
Yeah.
So it feels like this is where it connects, where this type of situation, the people who are assigning them stores, like, oh, this neighborhood.
Yeah. These are your peoples.
You're one of them. Yeah. You should be able to handle that.
You'll understand.
And limiting those opportunities to that, and kind of cornering people into just those small sections, basically redlining.
There it is. Redlining franchise ownership.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Well, some brighter news.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey Scott's statue at Mount Tabor Park replaced with the only black member of the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Nice.
An unknown artist has replaced the statue of Harvey Scott that was toppled by protesters in Mount Tabor Park last year with the only black member of the Lewis and Clark expedition. In October, a statue of Scott, the editor-in-chief of the Oregonian from the 1870s through the beginning of the 20th century, was among several monuments in Portland torn down amid protests against racial injustice. Scott was a vocal opponent of women's suffrage, and the statue was a frequent target for vandalism prior to being removed. A new statue has appeared on the pedestal at the top of Mount Tabor where Scott's once stood, that of York, an enslaved man who became the first African-American to cross North America as part of the Corps of Discovery. York was the first African-American to cross North America and reach the Pacific coast. Born into slavery in the 1770s to the family of William Clark, York became a member of the 1804 Lewis and Clark expedition. Though York was an enslaved laborer, he performed all of the duties of a full member of the expedition. Duh. He was a skilled hunter, negotiated trade with Native American communities, and tended to the sick. Upon his return east with the corpse of Discovery, York asked for his freedom. Clark refused his request.
No surprise.
In a statement, Adina Long, director of Portland Parks and Recreation, describes the artwork as a complete surprise, but says that if the monument is determined safe for public viewing, it will remain in place, at least temporarily. We should regard this installation for both the important piece that it is, City Parks Commissioner Carmen Rubio said in a press release, as well as a much needed reminder to city leaders to hasten our work of rooting out white supremacy in our institutions, particularly our city government, where many processes exclude community participation and discourage engagement. It's not the only public representation of York found in Portland. A memorial also stands on the campus of Lewis and Clark College. A bronze statue depicting York alongside Clark also stood at the University of Portland until it was removed last year due to vandalism. I'm for it.
Yeah.
I did listen to a podcast a couple of years back. I think it was the Stuff You Should Know podcast. And they did a whole piece on Lewis and Clark, but spent a good portion of time talking about York and how trash he was treated, of course. Right?
Of course.
And then the swindling that was done, because him feeling like he was doing this and was going to, as promised, have his freedom.
Right.
To which the swindle was in full effect, as we read here.
Yeah, yeah. That was not a plot twist by any means. Saw that
third act twist here.
No, none at all. Yeah, man, it does say something about this, the history of broken promises here in this country, you know, and how those broken promises are the foundation of the country.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It throws me a little bit when I read stuff like this and, you know, they talk about an enslaved human and their accomplishments of them doing just general stuff as if it was some great feat outside of just being a person that can do things.
but also as if they had a choice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the other part. It's like he accomplished so much. He was a slave. Not getting that done meant death. Like, what are you like? It's not like he woke up one day and was like, you know, I'm going to be the best discoverer I can. I'm going to just like forge out into the wilderness and I'm just going to. No, he wasn't brought on as a partner. It's so disingenuous to discuss it that way. Like, come on, man.
Doing the people's a favor.
Right. Right. Terrible. Terrible. Well, anyway, make sure you check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run up the numbers.
Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron needs to resign.
Hosted by Cam Jones and DJ Ambush.
Brett Hankinson needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Special thanks to our researcher and writer, Claudia Claudio.
Michael Cosgrove needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Music by C's.
Jonathan Natalie needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death. All of them.
Expeditiously.
Come on. Playing these games.